Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they recovered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and today we're going to be getting into some of the latest pop culture happenings, television, and of course, personal updates, because it's Halloween time. And Phoebe has been freaking busy. I thought I was one of the great celebrators of Halloween. Turns out I have competition, and yeah, they're in the same bloodline. Phoebe?
I wouldn't say that it's
Okay.
Caroline just put a curse on
me. I just put a spell on you, actually, because you're coming for... Don't try to come for my job.
I wouldn't say that I'm competing... Because I think we kind of are doing different things. Like, you celebrate Halloween in, like, a way of, like, you do Halloween things.
Mm-hmm.
I just happen to this year. Normally, I don't really do costumes. I don't really...
Yeah, I mean, I have never in your adult life seen you commit quite the way that you did this weekend. And, like...
Yeah, I don't know what came over.
I don't even know that I've ever committed to the level that you committed this weekend. I don't think I've ever really done full body paint.
There's like it's everywhere. I wasn't giving you a run for your money. I was giving Kelly a run for her money.
Well, that's for sure. And you know what Kelly said when she saw the pictures? She was dying. And then she goes, okay, well, next time I'm going to go down there and do the paint job for her because it's a little streaky. And I was like, well, I asked Phoebe. So anyone who's not.
I ended up using a brush.
Anyone who's on the Patreon. I don't even know where to begin with what you get to see they're on there.
That's a good episode.
Phoebe and I got on and I was like kind of getting ready for a ghost tour. And Phoebe was like, well, since we're getting ready together, why don't I try out my swim cap and we'll figure out the length of the pipe cleaners for my minion hairdo, of course. And so she comes in, puts the swim cap on cam. Of course, it's the video version on Patreon. She snaps it so hard on her own face that she said it was going to leave a bruise. And I just want to know, did it?
It didn't. But what I will say is I think I probably have like permanent brain damage from wearing that all night.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't think you're meant to wear swim caps for that long. And when I took it off, wait, I'll show you.
Okay.
This might be a close friends post. Everybody join the Patreon. But I'll show you. This picture. I think
okay,
I sent it.
I'm a
in
close
the group.
Friend. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I saw that.
No, those aren't forehead wrinkles. And I'm offended you even thought that.
What?
Those aren't forehead wrinkles. Those are the lines from the swim cap,
Phoebe,
that have been.
I did not say a word about forehead wrinkles.
But also, like, the perfect, that's a perfect
line. Like, the
line.
Ridges
also,
of her.
Here's what I was saying to
Kelly
about the streakiness.
Okay.
And I forgot about this thing about yellow face paint, is that it's kind of hard. It's a harder color.
It's weird you forgot about that thing about it.
Like, the green last year, it's, like, such a dark color and so pigmented that it, like, no matter how you put it on, it was, like, not... You couldn't really see your skin tone.
Yeah.
Whereas the yellow is a little bit more translucent.
I do think,
so
like...
So I had to do, like, lots of layers. But
yeah.
But also,
I
got ready, like... I didn't know how long it was going to take me. Certainly to get the swim cap on. That's probably what took the longest.
Was it a 2-person job? Be honest.
No.
Wow.
It probably should have been.
Well, just because from what I saw, I was like, okay, maybe we need a helper in here.
Well, no, because it had to be a big reveal. It had to be a big reveal.
Oh, right.
And, I didn't know how long it was going to take me, so I started getting ready like at like 6 after I ate.
A.M.
The party was at like 8.
Yeah. So I started getting ready at like 6 a.m. I mean, Phoebe, you were getting ready while we were recording also. You were prepping the costume. It's such a fun, you guys. It is. You will laugh harder than you've maybe laughed definitely in your entire time listening to the podcast, but like maybe ever if you go watch that video on the Patreon.
I was really impressed with my ability to the hair. I really think I pulled through on the hair, and here's how I did it. So I did at first my plan, and I'm glad I didn't end up doing this because I think it would have fucked up the pipe cleaners. But my plan initially was to poke the pipe cleaners through the swim cap and then put the swim cap.
And then
cap
you were
on.
Like, the swim cap is so thick that could not be possible.
Well, that is probably not, but also once it was on my head and I remember and I realized, oh fuck, I forgot.
You were
to
like, this isn't coming
thing.
Off.
I was like,
until
well, it's not coming
the end
off.
Of the night.
It's not coming off until the night's over.
You're like, I feel amazing. I can't take this off. I feel so confident right now. What if I take it off and I lose all my party hosting abilities?
So what I did was I took the little thing that I had made for the hair and I put a bobby pin on it, and then I poked the bobby pin.
Shock you at a bobby pin, not in a rude way.
One.
Did you have to look around on the floor?
No, I had to. Because I had to empty my drawers to find the seat. Because I saw.
You're like
it.
Caroline's probably been here once and maybe left one around here.
Well, no. What happened was I was cleaning and I saw it on. I think Mimi maybe had it over at some point. Like had been getting ready here at some point. But there was one on my little like one of the surfaces in the bathroom when I was cleaning.
That's
I put it
so
into
funny.
The.
You're like
drawer.
I will remember you. Come in handy.
Then it was like literally needle in a haystack vibes because I didn't know I was gonna need it that night, so I put it like in a drawer. Like, well, I'll find that one day when I need it. But
when I inevitably need that one, Bobby.
Little did I know when it was gonna happen this night.
That's how it goes, and that's why you should really like if you have a fire extinguisher in your house or anything like that. Like, you should put it where you know it's gonna be because the whole thing is you do never know when you're gonna need it.
Right. So I did. That's how I got the hair on, and it looked really good. But the thing is that oh wait, by the way guys, I was a minion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't think you did. Then I was like, Caroline, you're always ragging on Phoebe's not talking to the audience, but yeah, that was an instance where context might have helped.
I was a minion.
They're like pipe cleaners. Shit.
And
swim cap.
So I started getting ready not knowing how long it was going to take me to be fully ready. Party started at 8. I started getting ready at 6. The place was ready. Like, the place
of course.
Fully, like, everything was clear. Like, it was ready for people to arrive. It was giving Christmas party at, like, 7:15. You know what I mean? Like, that's how the house
felt. Yeah, okay, yeah, like, Connell Christmas
tables,
party at home.
The tables were moved.
Ready.
Things were set up. Chips in bags and bowls. Not quite out of the bags yet.
Sealed for freshness.
Anyway, and so I just kind of had to sit in my outfit for like an hour and a half, probably.
Wait, I thought you were going to say it like took you the whole time and you were like pushing it. How quick did you get ready?
Pretty quick.
So it's good to know I could do it on the fly if I had to.
I found my favorite brand of body/face paint. It's the same brand I used when I was Elphaba last year. It's really effective. And
share it with
you
the class.
Always like. Like last year, I don't actually know the name of it, but it's on Amazon and it comes up.
Okay, well, you should
probably
send a link so we can pin it because, hello.
Right.
Worst influencer of all time. Phoebe, I found my preferred brand of face paint. Oh my God, what is it? I have no idea, but it's on Amazon. Perfect. Perfect. Just go to Amazon, get it.
Let's see. But the thing that I like about it is that, like, last year, we didn't know how much it was going to take to get my face completely painted.
Yeah.
So, and looking good.
So, we've got like, a lifetime supply of that green paint,
We got, like, a bunch of bottles. And then it was, like, I barely used one. I used a lot more for the yellow because I also had to paint the bald cap for this one.
Right. And I was thinking about that. I was, like, I might have painted that with, like, I don't know. Was it like, sliding around on the...
No, it was perfect. So I was worried about that. I was worried it was going to come off, but it went great.
Wow.
It went right on. Only a couple coats.
Guys, the pictures are... And they're not all going to be on Close Friends because I will not allow it.
Okay, it's called Mekoli.
Okay. And again, just send me that link. Your hand's shaking so much. Mekoli, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Are you nervous? Your hand's trembling.
No, I think it's just.
Oh, get away from me.
Anyway.
Just seasick, looking at you holding up your phone on camera.
I was. Yeah, it was a hit, everybody. But I was the person who went the hardest. And, like, the thing is that this was someone's birthday party, so there were people showing up that I didn't, like, know.
No. Oh, my God. Was everybody in costume, at least?
Multiple people were dressed as minions, and then we had a couple Grus, and we had a Vector.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's kind of a good turnout, but I can't believe there were no kids. Like, not, like, literal children. Oh, like, in the movie, they're, like, the main characters.
It was more of a minions party than it was.
Okay, but Gru and Vector were there.
Yeah, but they're kind of like ancillary characters for those two people, for the minions.
Okay, did you guys speak in Minion the whole night, or how did that go?
No, but there was one moment where someone wanted to do karaoke, and so they did Shallow. And at the very end, when they start, when it's like the big climax after the build up, and they say, I'm off the deep end. Whatever. Yeah, at one point, when they say Shallow, they both, without having rehearsed this, they both said bellow. And it was kind of an electric moment.
Well, it sounds like it.
What I will say is, like, there were times where I would open the door and, like, they didn't know that. They knew that this party was at their friend's apartment, but they didn't know who I was. They didn't know XYZ.
Yeah.
And so I opened the door dressed as I'm dressed, and I'm like, trying to be like Phoebe.
Were you in overalls?
Like, yeah. I got the costume.
You didn't send a full body pic, and mom
asked. I know,
because
it was actually like the least flattering thing I've ever
had. Who cares? We're your family. You can't send it to your family. Who can you send it to?
It was like, the legs were super long, so like, the seam of the, I hate this word, the seam of the crotch, like, came down to, like, basically my knees.
Ugh.
And so I had to do a couple alterations where I cut the legs a bit so they were uneven. But anyway, I should have cinched it a little bit. But anyway, I cut the legs, and then also it was like a Velcro thing with the overalls.
Yeah.
And so I had to. This was me. I was like, oh my God, I can do anything after the bobby pin revelation and after this.
Wow. You're like, I could be a costumer on Broadway. It's giving, like, quick change energy.
I was like, oh my goodness, this is like, it's sagging. How can I fix this? And so I pulled the thing up, and I was like,
nothing some bits and bobs can't fix. Oh, nothing and a bit of thread can't fix.
I cut the thing, and then I took my scissors, and I made a little buttonhole so that the button there that wasn't being used was now a functional button.
Wow.
With the overalls.
Mom and Dad are going to want to hear details on this, which I'm sure you know. I'm actually laughing, imagining how hard they were laughing at those texts.
I'm also imagining Dad going up to Empire and showing my former boss, who has known me since I was 5 years old, that picture.
Hence,
of me.
He will not be surprised, and it won't be a big deal at all.
He hasn't seen me in years.
He's met you in every iteration,
Phoebe's
babe.
Phoebe used to be just fine, actually.
Yeah. He's like, oh, she's just how I remember her. Actually, that's exactly how I remember
her. I was thinking, I was like, I haven't really celebrated Halloween like this in a while. However, as a kid, I kind of loved Halloween.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, the energy is really special. Like, trick-or-treating, I mean, there's nothing better. Getting booed, I just was like, I just brought that back into somebody's head the other day. Like, I said that
so
we booed our neighbor, and they were like, oh my God, I forgot about being booed. It was like, oh, it was like the most exciting thing that could happen to you. Like, it literally was like the coolest thing in the world. I will never forget that feeling of being booed, and like, just how, and then getting to make your own boo bags and go out and boo your friends, and like, mm-hmm. mom driving us around, like, just so cute. And then like, all the different Halloween parties. We'd go to the Halloween parade. We'd go to the, like, Chartier's party dressed as one thing. And then, like, we'd have multiple costumes because we, you know, mom would want us to do one as, like, a family. And then we would be able to change and go with our friends and just, like, whatever. And Halloween is famously one of the first nights I really got drunk ever in sophomore year of high school. It's actually crazy to think about kids.
How different our Halloweens were in high school.
Well, sure. But also just, like, kids and, like, what they were doing. Like, literally, my friends and I had this whole plan. We were going to this Halloween party, which, what was crazy is the kid who's throwing the Halloween party had gotten in trouble at the last party, which I don't remember what party it was. Never mind. Sorry. This is what sparked it. Okay. So the Halloween party, we're all trick or treating with, like, I'm not joking, like a water bottle that just has like straight vodka in it in our trick or treat bags. And we had
sometimes I'm like, man, did I miss out in high school?
And then you hear the story and you're like,
not drinking. And then I'm like,
this sounds terrible. Yeah. We had like one of our moms drop us off in that neighborhood so we could trick or treat in that neighborhood and then go to the party when we were done. And while we trick or treated, we would like drink out of this water bottle. And then we got there and I was Luna Lovegood and it was a shit show.
Halloween as well.
Because I had those awesome glasses and I got them for this. And I just remember this one kid got like fucked up at this party and he got in trouble, like in big trouble. And I think I was already gone when that happened. But then as a like there were like all these kids who like helped him and his parents took all of them to Benihana as like a thank you for taking care of our kid. But like it was like this like celebration, like he was there. And then they had him host the New Year's party to like be safer. And that was the first party that I ever called mom and said like gummy bear, said the code word, had her come pick me up, because it was like people were vomiting on the floor at that party. I was like, I do not need to be here. And I had her come get me. But like, can you imagine? It's just like how different, like our mom, if I had been the one to get like so sick at this party and get in trouble and like have the like,
Caroline, you'd be in jail.
I would be in jail.
I don't know for what, but you'd
mom
be in
would
jail.
Be like, try her as an adult. Try her as an adult and I try her for murder. Like that's what would have happened if that had been me. They literally, I remember mom talking about the Benihana dinner because like I had friends who
there
went.
Are some parents who pay off the cops to like get their kids out of trouble. Our mom is paying the cops
to get
us in trouble.
They're like, would you mind just like riding them around in the police
like,
car with the sirens
cases?
On and handcuffs?
Yeah. Do you have any cold cases?
We can pin
it
on one of
them.
My kids are honestly free. They're honestly available for whatever you need.
For the rest of their life.
Yeah, for the rest of their life. Because after this night, that... Oh, my God. I mean, I'm just like, it was such a crazy thing. But I just and then I remember going home and sleeping over at my friend's house, or going to my friend's house, sleeping over. And we all like slept at this huge pile because we were all drunk and we didn't know how to like be drunk. And then I woke up and so hungover, I had to go walk to babysit.
Oh, my God.
Had to walk from like the very back of the manor to our, you know, whatever.
Jesus
to Christ. Babysit.
Oh, that's quite the.
Yeah.
The walk of shame.
I know. Oh, and I was in, also like, I had a costume, I think. Like, I had my bag of
it's
candy
you
from trick or treating.
Where you're coming from.
I know. Oh, my God. The worst part is, though, I had braces, of course, and I was still missing teeth. So it's like, who was I trying
when
to
she
pool?
Opens her mouth, it's like, oh,
like, ah, wait, how old are you?
This isn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, just a little Halloween anecdote for you all.
Yeah, but like I went through in elementary school, my costumes were always pretty intense. I would go home for lunch to get to like put it on for the parade. And then like in middle school, I still like would get a different costume every year. But then in high school, I ended up being like I was Mike Wazowski every year for Halloween in high school because I had the costume and it became easy. But I did have to. I'm forgetting this now. I was Mike Wazowski for like when I would be with my friends on Halloween and it was a good thing to have that costume. But because of, and this is how I know Caroline and I had just radically different like experiences in high school, because I was in the marching band. So every like the Saturday before Halloween, we would have the parade and my section in the band, like they took it really seriously, really seriously.
As they should.
And
Halloween's
so
not really a joke.
I didn't get to do it my senior year, which sucked because it was Wicked themed. But if you want to know why I didn't get to do it my senior year, it's because I was marching in a different section of the parade.
Because she was
the
homecoming
queen.
I love how Phoebe goes, Caroline and I had vastly different like high school experiences. I was like in the marching band. You were fucking homecoming queen, bitch. I wasn't even on the roster. Give me a freaking break.
Wait, I bet you were nominated for your homeroom though.
No, I don't think so. I was not nominated for homecoming court. And that makes sense. I would not have been.
No, but I feel like you were probably just like a name, you know? Like that's how that happens so often. Like I feel like when you got the list of like the 50, however, like because it would be,
you know,
like
who it probably was. I bet Michelle was on. Michelle was in my homeroom and I bet she was nominated. Or, you know, I just remembered who it was. It was another girl in the band. Another girl in the band.
Let's
okay.
Ride.
Okay, you guys were rigging it. You guys were rigging it, actually.
But
I still like you. And I'm sorry, but what they say in Mean Girls is true. Sexually active band geeks, and I mean that complimentary, like, the stories I would hear from my friends in the band, I was like, holy shit. Like, I was like, okay, we're living two different, like, high school experiences. And then I think it circles back around to, like, there was also a quarter of the band that was not acting like that. But the ones who were, holy shit.
Yeah, they were. It was like, oh, my God, I don't want to hear it. My ears can't.
I was like, get me on that drum line. Just kidding.
But I wouldn't have been surprised if you had said it was you just because of the way that they do it.
Definitely.
Because every homeroom nominates a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
And then they pare that down to however many people.
Yeah. No, it wasn't me. It was either Michelle.
Frankly, this is the thing. I was like, in my homeroom, I don't think I'm getting on the
That's
list.
Hilarious. Let alone the whole school.
Well, the thing was like, in a weird way, I was like, if I get on homecoming court, that makes
like
a little
more
sense.
I don't need it, but like it happens, and that's I'm cool with that.
No, I just mean like that math added up to me, but within my own homeroom, the people
you were
in
like
my homeroom,
you guys. I thought
I was
you were
like,
traitors.
You guys are voting for me.
I thought you were traitors in my mortal enemies. Actually, it is like the people you're in homeroom with. It's like you guys. We are not well, except for again Michelle and I. Thank God we are in the same homeroom. Like
I had a good little row in my homeroom.
It was great, but it was also just like some of the people in a homeroom. Like we. Just because we've been together in here for the last 4 years doesn't mean we have anything in common.
Doesn't mean anything in common.
Oh, my God. But I had the most lax homeroom of all time, and it was awesome.
Who was your teacher?
Mr. Forsyth.
Oh.
Yeah, he didn't care at all. I would never be there for homeroom. I would, like just have to go, like, say hey before...
You would expect that from Mr. Diallo, but he was low-key, like, strict about it.
It's always, like, honestly a shock. Like, when certain teachers are like, wait, you're supposed to be cool, or, like, I think you should be cool, and then they're, like, really sticklers for certain rules. I'm just like, wait, what? Like, be cool.
This isn't
Be cool. You know?
Be cool it
and just try being cool for once. I don't know. Oh, my God. Okay, well, anyway. I went to this Cutie Pie Little Fall Festival yesterday in the Strip, which was really fun.
Me too. Let me show you this candle I got.
Okay, cool. While I was there, there was this little dog shop with like dog bow ties and bandanas and stuff. And I did get Chuck a glow-in-the-dark ghost bow tie because he needs to have that for Halloween. And there was an incredible dog who was running the show. It's her business, of course. And she was in a full rhinestone getup. Like, I'm not kidding you, Phoebe. Like I didn't look comfortable in any way. It was like giving life of a showgirl. Yeah. Huge headpiece. Like diamond rhinestone.
Oh,
big, like whatever. Just
That's
sitting
awesome.
on the bed. People are walking all around her. Like there are dogs everywhere. She's just like, she is completely unbothered. She's like, I'm at work. I'm not here to socialize. I'm not here to like put on a show for any of you.
I'm not here to bark.
I'm in uniform, buy my things. And you know what? Fucking worked on me. Can't wait
for
the spot
that was
job.
Maybe for me the fall festival that we went to that the dogs might have been the highlight. There were so
they were all in costume.
And also, Caroline, I think Elvis is like trying to talk to me.
Oh my God! But what is he saying? You know what I mean? That makes me stress. Like, what does he need to say?
No,
to you?
No, not in a bad. Just like in a way of like he.
Elvis,
like,
what do you need to say to us?
Like in a wagon. Maybe he's trying to be like I see that he's like he got to heaven and he saw how some dogs on this earth are like treated. He's like I see that some dogs are in wagons, not having to walk around. I didn't know that was really an option, bitch. Yeah. And because I'm at this festival and I see, I mean Mimi probably my world stopped for a second. There's this dog I've been walking that looks kind of like Elvis.
Yeah.
His face doesn't really look like Elvis, but in certain lights and like if I'm looking down at his head and petting him, it like is Elvis.
In his spirit,
but his
of course.
His face is more of like a.
Yeah.
He's like a Shih Tzu Bichon or something like that. His face is not purely Shih Tzu, but this dog, first of all, had some pounds on him, so already like looking more like Elvis. Hair graying, but clearly isn't gray. It was black and is turning gray. Face in the ears cut, just like Elvis.
Oh, my God. When Bubba's ears would get cut,
I literally gasped. And then just like that, he was gone.
And, oh, my God, you blinked and he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Life is
but
too short.
That was the best part about the festival, seeing all the dogs and, like, their costumes. And,
I know.
Like,
it was so cute seeing all the dogs and their freaking.
It was so sweet. And also here's one thing I want to say to Mount Lebanon. So we went down to Franklin for this.
Okay.
And Franklin is like one of the most gorgeous little towns ever. And, they have free parking garages.
Mm.
They are clean. They have numbers on the outside that tell you how many spots are there.
Wow.
As you're going up, they have lights above each stall so that like there are no like hit. It's not like,
wow,
you think you're going to turn into a spot and then there's a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
They're lights. And it's free.
Wow.
Well, and I'm like, Mount Lebanon, if you want people to use these parking garages so fucking badly.
I know.
Just make them free.
I know.
Just make them free.
I know. It's crazy.
Stupid.
Stupid.
Anyway, so what I got was, before we went into anthropology, because, you know, you just have to when you're down there. It's a two-story anthropology.
Oh, my God.
And it's just like, and I needed a new volcano candle. But before I bought that, I bought a local candle.
Love.
Called Hocus Pocus.
Candles by a dad? Oh, my God.
Yes. Could you believe this? Listen to this, Caroline. They are a Murfreesboro company. And he makes them childhood bedroom.
Wait, is that weird?
No.
Okay.
I think that's sweet.
I'm just wondering, like, if it was weird.
And it smells so good.
Oh my God, that's awesome. That's a good. I love when you find a really good candle that you didn't previously know. And I'm sorry, that's heartwarming and cute. I didn't know if it was like weird, like, but whatever. It's not. It's not weird. I'm weird. Okay.
And then I'm weird.
I'm a weirdo. Okay.
Do you ever see?
You ever see me without this hat?
Stupid little hat on? I'm weird, Betty. Not like everyone else.
I'm different. Okay, what is this? Ooh, I love the silver.
I think I realized that Mimi doesn't know the lore of the volcano candles, and I have Mimi. To kind of, I need, I'm like, in retrospect, I'm understanding that because she, I hope Mimi's not listening, because Mimi, I don't mean this in a mean way, but I need to explain to you why this is such a wonderful candle. But I saw her picking up each volcano candle thinking they all were different.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We've all had that instead moment. And some of them are different, though.
Yes. Well, I had this moment of going upstairs where all the holiday stuff is, and by the way, like the fucking Nutcracker.
Oh, my God.
Like, they have these butter knife holders, mm-hmm. for a charcuterie, like, mm-hmm. a cheese knife or something. One is a golden Nutcracker, and there are holes in his hands, and the knife goes in his hands like a staff.
Oh, my God. Obsessed.
And then they have a Rat King who also has, like, you have to buy them separately, of course.
Oh, my God.
But it would be a set.
Oh, my God.
So cute. The Christmas stuff that they have out right now is, like, actually makes me sick to my stomach.
Ugh.
Because you just want it so badly.
I know.
And then I've been looking for these volcano candles at this place. I never find them here. And then I see that there's a cabinet of them.
Yeah.
And they're, like, in these beautiful greens. And I'm like, these are Christmas, but maybe I think they are still the right smell, and they weren't.
No.
They were Christmas smell.
But it's a really good Christmas smell. So, like.
But I'm just not ready yet.
I know, but
I had this exact conversation last year about Target, but I had this same experience again this year for this Halloween party. I went to Target, and I was like, I'm going to get a couple fall candles. Because they have, like, so many cute little canisters for them. And I go.
They're all Christmas now. I know.
Sorry,
well,
I'm not
that's
ready.
Why I started buying the fall ones so early. Remember when I was, like, buying them early and I was, like, keeping them because I was like,
That's the right way to do it.
I know. And, like, I ordered. So I have, like, a few candles that are, like, my favorites for fall. And now I'm like, I just will plan ahead. So I make sure that I have them, and I'm already, like, starting to gather my candles for Christmas, that I just will always have the candle I need. But, like, I think the best, my favorite fall candles are every time Target does their Hearth and Hand. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Line with Joanna Gaines. She will put out a fall candle that has the word harvest in the title. Get it. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I think it's all, like, a version of the same scent. This year it was Harvest Chestnut. They are so good. It's the best fall scent I've ever found. And, like, I don't know if you guys know the lore of me and fall scents, but there was a candle called.
It took you a second, right?
No, there was a candle that I found when I guess I had, like, just graduated college, maybe. No. Yes, I just graduated college, and I was in my phase where I was, like, still in my childhood bedroom, but I would love to go to Marshall's and, like, get a few little things to decorate my room. And I would get candles because I was finally allowed to have a candle in my room at 22 years old living at home. Thank you, Mom and Dad. So I found this candle. It was from DW Home. Okay, it's at Marshall's, Home Goods, whatever. And it's called November Nights, and it was a black candle. And when I tell you, I mean, this was my first, like, true love affair with a scent other than the volcano candle, of course. I was like, there is not a better fall scent than this. Oh, my God. I bought every single one that they had, and I started going to every Marshalls and TJ Maxx that I could to buy all of them in the vicinity. Because it was, like, a $7 candle, And, you know, once they're gone from there, they're gone. So I had so many of them. I had enough to last me through the next year, and I could not find them anywhere. Could not, like, I never found it again. I go to my friend's house one day. I'm like, what is this smell? Oh my God, what is it? Is this the November nights? She was burning it. Yes. She did the same thing I did the year prior, bought a bunch of them so she could have them, also couldn't find them. So I go on this quest. I'm like looking everywhere I go where there's a TJ Maxx I haven't been in. I am in there. I am looking for the candle. I have now resorted to emailing DW Home and saying, like, do you sell this under another name now? Is it out there somewhere? Where can I send me a link? I will buy it. I'll buy everything.
Did they answer?
They were like, we don't make the candle anymore. I start dating Anthony. And I go to the candle lab. I'm like, I just want to remake this candle, but like, I can't remember enough exactly what it smells like. Anthony emails the DW Home people. He's like, I need you to tell me like the makeup of the November Nights candle. My girlfriend is really into it. So they send him what the scents were that were in the November Nights candle. And they were like, we have no plans to redo it. And like, this is not an exact, like, we don't know. So like, we can never recreate it fully. And I will still, like, I remember going on Instagram and being like, does anybody know where the November Nights DW Home candle is?
Just brush over like one of the most like romantic gestures ever. Like, she just like completely yeah. Anthony did this thing and it actually didn't work that well. We're never gonna
no. But I know, no, that is, I mean, I'm there are just so many things like that about him to say, but like, that is my Lord. Yeah, that candle, that was like the first one. And so this,
so annoying,
Target Harvest whatever is like a dead ringer, I think, for that scent. Another one that I'd always loved was the Henry Bendel's chai candle. They don't make it anymore. Oh my God, Chloe and I were completely head over heels for that one. Of course, the volcano candle. I also love the Voluspa pumpkin spice latte. It's like a little bit sweeter, but it comes in a gorgeous glass canister. Always get that. I also like the bourbon vanilla from Voluspa. It's like a good, like, cozy scent.
This one is cinnamon and pear. I've realized as I grow up, I don't like super sweet scents.
Yeah.
I like things that make the house smell kind of clean. That's why I love the volcano candle so much.
It's,
I don't
such
know
a good
why
scent.
The fucking 6 ounce candle is $22.
I know. But it's genuinely worth it. It's genuinely worth it.
But what I started
it.
Doing was, because mom last year for Christmas, or maybe, yeah, I think she got us the really big one last year. And when I burned that down, I just started putting new ones in it.
Smart.
Because I love the way it looks on my table.
Yes.
And if it's a little one in there and the flame is in it, it still looks like it's.
And
like,
one thing I actually learned from Meg is like, if you are done with the candles, but there's still a little bit of wax in them, she will just like leave the canisters, like, because they're so pretty, but she'll leave them open and you'll still get a whiff of it when you walk by. Like, you will still be able to smell it. It'll still make that like area smell like it, which is nice. Like, it's a really high quality, like, long lasting scent too. Because the thing is, you can get, there's a really good dupe for the volcano scent at TJ Maxx. It's the Storm candle. I think it's also DW Home. Storm. It is like almost a dead ringer, but it is not as powerful. The scent doesn't really linger as long.
There was a candle,
it burns
the
faster.
Candles by Dad that was like a Capri Island candle and Capri.
And thank you for saying Capri. Yeah, like, no, thank you so much for that.
It's, I was like, oh, that smells like the volcano candle, but it wasn't quite it.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, but what I was saying though about the green ones there is like, you know, even though you love volcano, if you're down, like, it's a good, like, it's an easy swap for December. Like,
just not ready yet. One of those. I did have intense.
And they won't run out.
I had intense cart jealousy as I was checking out with my 6 ounce candle. A girl next to me looks younger than me, so I'm already annoyed.
Yeah.
Because, like, why are you, whose card do you?
Because no
have
one's allowed to be
here?
Younger.
Well, that for sure.
Yeah.
Unless you're like 20 years younger, it's like, I'm the youngest person on earth.
Yeah, no, exactly. Unless you're a newborn.
The amount of candlesticks she was putting on her, like, she kept putting them up and, like, candlesticks and then the candle holders. Like,
holy shit.
I was like, are you the person at Vanderbilt who just won $500,000? Like, I'm confused.
Fuck. That's
how
crazy.
How are you affording this?
And that's crazy.
Younger than me.
Here's another hack, though, for that. The sale room almost always has taper candles in there, and they're like,
yes,
super
I do.
Cheap.
Think
so do you think she got
some of
there?
These? Were, I think some of them, but she was so a few of them were Christmas. But I think I want to invest in, or like, honestly, I could go probably thrift some candlestick holders that are cool, and then go to Anthropology and buy candlesticks if I wanted to. But
yes.
I do think I want.
You know, we should
I think
do.
I just would like kind of because I have that. I have my TV stand that has like a big surface area on the top. So there's a lot of room to like put stuff around the TV. And I think I would like to do some candlesticks. Yeah.
I think it's buying them on sale there is always good. Again, TJ Maxx is a really good place to go get those. And also you can get like $1 ones that they would use at like church or something. Those white ones at like Michael's or something, dollar store. And then use little tea light candles wax to like decorate them and make them into like more intricate, fun candles. So like you'll get a bunch of little tea lights in different colors. And then you take like a paintbrush or whatever and you use that hot wax and you paint and you create like, because a lot of their candlesticks now are really cute with like icons on them or flowers or whatever. Like, yeah, look on TikTok.
The Christmas ones with like the trees and stuff. Like,
they have a, or you could also like dip them in like a green wax and like dye them green or something if you want them to be a different color. But that would be a fun thing we could do over Christmas because I,
yeah, that would be fun.
The, look it up on TikTok. There are like a zillion how to's on how to do it. So that's one hack.
Oh my gosh. As we, as the, as Anne's girls start to get, obviously not yet, but as Anne's girls start to get older, cookie decorating turns into a candle decorating.
Oh. Anne's our old babysitter, by the way.
Caroline is dying to compete against these girls.
I'm just like, I think I can take them. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They definitely have got me. They've got me that beat for so sure.
Funny. That's so funny.
Oh, I was trying to be a kook. I was just trying to be a kook. I was just trying to be, I was literally just trying to be funny.
Oh, it was a joke, right?
Just, it was a
guys,
joke.
Okay, so I was a Minion on Friday. On Thursday,
back to
I was Hamilton. I didn't even mention it.
Oh my God, just Hamilton and somebody in the crowd said, someone in the crowd could be the one you want to know.
Caroline hates that movie.
I don't like it. But somebody went up to Phoebe and was like, oh my God, hey. And Phoebe was like, ugh. And it was someone I know from college.
That's not how I reacted.
And they
I
were
was just
like, it's okay. You don't have to remember me. You just look exactly like Caroline. And I'm like, and Phoebe is dressed as Hamilton with facial hair. And I love that. That is the life of a fraternal twin. You don't know the life of a fraternal twin.
Yeah, it was an absolute blast. It was a hit. And then I was that again last night. Also a hit.
My God, Halloween weekend, college vibes. Okay, forever in college.
I know. And then it's like I'm riding this high of like having something every night this weekend, and then next weekend is like actually Halloween weekend, and I'm like,
you've nothing.
Figure out what to do. I'm looks like I'm back to the drawing board with costumes.
My God. Well, I'm sure you can repeat, or you could just like play it cool and like not
hockey jersey,
hot girl Halloween black. Costume, hockey always. Jersey, no pants, eye black.
Worked for me last year.
No pants.
No, I certainly had pants.
Phoebe, you better not wear any pants. And you better go barefoot. Or in ice skates. You choose.
And you better
and
go
you
barefoot.
Better go barefoot or in ice skates. Okay, I did talk about this on the Patreon. And I'm not going to go into like full detail, but I just want to make a note here. Like, because I went to this fall festival and there was somebody there doing caricatures. And I was like, oh, see, look, this would be a time where if you wanted to draw me, you could if I asked you to and paid you. And if you wanted to make it ugly, that would also be fine because I knew I was asking you to draw a caricature of me. And so something I just want to say is if you like go somewhere as like a plus one to a wedding where like you know literally nobody and you're sitting at a table with a bunch of people, don't start drawing them. Just don't start drawing them, especially if like you're not actually an artist or good at it. Don't start drawing them. And then if you do draw them, you don't actually have to draw what you see. Make them look better than you think they look, because there's a chance they're gonna see it and say, what is that, and look at it and take a picture, and you might make a nasty mortal enemy that night if you play your cards wrong, dead wrong. And I'm just saying it could happen, okay? And I'm just saying you could end up giving somebody a drawing of them that you did that makes them want to die and that multiple people say looks like Rosie O'Donnell. So I'm just saying that could happen if you decide to take the risk and start drawing people you never heard of or met. Oh, my God. I've got a face that you just can't draw like that. How about this? I just don't want to be drawn. How about this? Don't draw anyone without their consent. If I sit down and pay you for a caricature, that's totally fine. If I don't.
Or like, if you're going to be that person who's drawing people and they don't know that they're being drawn, be good at it. But also, like, when you see the people on TikTok who are like sitting on the subway and drawing people, it's like they try to capture like the most positive essence of the people that they're drawing, so that when they give it to them, it's this moment of like, oh my God, like you noticed something in me, like you noticed a light in my eye, but like these sorts of things. Not like,
I'm not like
500
hey,
pounds onto me.
I know, literally. Like, make if you notice four chins on somebody, give them one or give them one anyway. Just pretend you don't see it. I don't need to know what you perceive me as. I don't need to know what you think I look like. And I think that's been clear from the get-go about me. Even though this girl didn't know me, she should have known that. And that's what I'm saying. And I hope she listens to the podcast and hears this. Okay. If you want to hear the full story and you want to see the sketch, you can go to the Patreon episode. Again, it's gold. That episode is gold.
Listen up, road warriors. The holidays may seem far away, but they sneak up fast. Luckily, we have the perfect solution to help you get your shopping done and have a fun time doing it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is known for their high-quality and unique products. These are often handmade by independent artists and small businesses in small batches and can sell out fast. With the help of Uncommon Goods, I think I was able to beat Caroline to finding the most perfect gift for my dad this holiday season. I found these epic sets of pint glasses made by artist Leslie Thompson. I picked the screen-printed design of Fenway Park in Boston that includes intricate details of the park that will be sure to impress and bring a smile to my dad's face. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers to mixologists. By shopping with Uncommon Goods this holiday season, you are not only supporting small independent business and artists, but also get the opportunity to give back $1 of each of your purchases to a nonprofit of your choice. They've already donated over $3 million. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/prettylittlepodcast. That's uncommongoods.com/prettylittlepodcast for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Hello, Road Warriors. As you know, I'm one of the great celebrators of Halloween. So when I suggest a spooky and spicy book in October, you gotta listen. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue.
We're both reading it.
Place bets on who will finish first.
And I can't believe how perfectly it ties into our girls. It's giving gothic horror, but with insane romance. So all you Arias out there are gonna love it.
And it's also super spicy and romantic and spooky. So even if you're not an Aria, you're pretty much going to freaking love it.
We just started reading it and Caroline texted me at 3 a.m. last night telling me she literally couldn't put it down.
And I am dying to know Phoebe's thoughts because it's her first spicy book and I think she's going to be hooked. Phoebe, do you want to read the synopsis?
Yeah. Gothic sapphic romance meets supernatural suspense on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest. As a night of forbidden passion opens a Pandora's box of dangerous secrets and dark magic in this sinfully spicy standalone novel by New York Times bestselling TikTok sensation, Harley LaRue.
Sheesh. Obviously, we want you guys to read along with us, so you can get a copy of House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold in print and ebook.
And if you want to match us and get the gorgeous deluxe hardcover edition, it is available only for a limited time, so go grab yours before they're gone. Listen up, Road Warriors. I have got to tell you about this book I just finished, Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher. I truly didn't know a romance starring a demon hero could be so cozy.
Okay, I actually did know that, but it's not a competition. Guys, Guardian Demon is the ultimate forbidden romance novel, but it still keeps it upbeat and fun, and it's giving major star-crossed lovers vibes, which we famously love.
Totally. The grumpy sunshine trope is becoming one of my faves. I could not put this book down. My phone was literally on Do Not Disturb all weekend thanks to this New York Times bestseller.
So if you want to be a well-read hottie like us, then grab your copy of Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher. It's available wherever books are sold in print and in ebook, but the Gorge Deluxe first printing is only available for a limited time. So run, don't walk. Okay, I have started watching season two of Nobody Wants This. I'm guessing you haven't started it yet because I haven't heard anything from you.
You know, I haven't started it yet, and I actually didn't realize it was out yet. And I got home last night from the party, and I was like, I'm not in the right headspace.
I know. No, that's a good way to look at it.
I need to be sober, clear-minded.
Yes, I agree. Because I was a little bit nervous to start it because, again, it was like, last season was so good, and I feel like I don't even know if they knew how good it was when they did it. And then it was just like, can they recreate this magic? You know what I mean? It's how I'm going to feel about season two of Overcompensating a little bit as well. Like, I'm almost nervous to watch it. And so the first episode, I was like, okay, like, the bar was just set so high. I wasn't immediately feeling it. I'm on episode three now. Okay, I'm bought in. I'm trying to savor it. It is funny as fuck. There is one line, and this isn't spoiling anything for you, but, like, someone is talking to Adam Brody's mom, and he's like, oh, my God, like, they're such a good couple. Like, Joanne and Noah are such a good couple. They're so good together. Or they said they're so close together, connected. And the mom goes, and I have scissors. And then it's the credits. And you, like, think things are kind of okay right before that. She goes, and I have scissors. It just is, like, I'm sorry. And the way that the sisters joke, like, there's a moment where Kristen Bell, like, is going to get to write an email. And the sister's like, oh, my God, I love when you do this. Oh, my God, it's been so long since you've written an email. Like, okay, start thinking, like, oh, okay. They're just, like, so, and she's like, okay, I know it needs to be perfect. Like, and she starts, like, writing the email. Like, but, and they're just, like, so excited. It's just, they capture the sister dynamic and also the podcast dynamic so well. And then on top of it, it's also so fucking funny. And also Esther reminds me so much of Angie K from Salt Lake.
Which one is Esther?
She's married to, yeah, she's married to Noah's brother, Adam Brody's brother. Sasha.
Yes, okay. No, I think that's fair. And I can't wait to watch it, but now that you've brought Angie up,
let's get into Salt Lake. Yeah.
What I will say is I don't think I finished last week's episode. Okay. I got close, but I don't think I completely, but I've seen enough online that I'm not worried about any spoilers, whatever.
Okay.
But let's go back 2 weeks to the, what did they call it? They called it something so fucking funny. The
clarity dinner?
The wine tasting, but.
No.
They had a name for it because the psychic was there.
I don't know.
It was similar to the Clarity Luncheon. Yeah. Like, they had a name for it at the bottom of the screen. And, oh my goodness, you guys, listen. I wasn't expecting this, and I'm still not on Lisa's side. I think she's acting insane. But what I will say is I'm shocked Angie is making me, like, I thought it was going to be, like, just so easy to take Angie's side on everything.
The psychic wine tasting from hell?
No, there was a name.
Yeah,
I can't think of what it was. Like, there was alliteration in there. I don't know. Anyway, if you guys know it, let me know. But anyway, yeah, Angie, I need you to open your ears and hear Mary speak, because Mary was right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Stop throwing shit. Your black cards, stop doing that.
I know.
You look just as bad, if not worse, than Lisa.
Yeah. I think part of what makes her potentially look worse, and I'm hesitant to say that, but what does make it look that way is that we just have really come to expect it from Lisa. And, like, so I think it's like, oh, we don't want Angie to fall from grace. Like, she had to claw her way up. Lisa started at the top, and she's never not been who she is. And so it's like, we expect it. We don't want that from Angie. I think it's vice versa. But I also have to say, like, I didn't think the conversation with Mary was bad. I thought that, I feel like.
Oh, no. I'm not speaking about the conversation they had at the. Mary was trying to look out for Angie and was like, I want better for you. I expect better from you. And I know you're capable of better than this. Why are you throwing this stuff? Why are you, you're stooping to her level and you don't have to. And I think Mary was just disappointed. And Angie, I understand it was in the heat of the moment. And, like, she was really worked up, and it was probably hard for her to, she's seeing red. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, Mary got the short end of the stick in that conversation of just like, okay, bye, Mary. Like, I'm not. And Angie wasn't seeing, I think, how upset Mary was.
Yeah,
that she wasn't being
heard.
I agree.
I totally agree. And I think, I mean, and that's kind of Mary's thing, too. She, like, catches people really off guard sometimes with how invested she is in things. Like, she seems so checked out of everything until she finally snaps
quote,
and has, like, a
was,
full reaction. Oh, it's like, wait, what? I didn't even realize you were
she
listening.
She was on your friend's podcast, I think.
Yeah.
And
Dylan Hafer, like, Bravo Betches podcast. It's my friend.
Dylan was like, they were talking about how it's, like, inevitable that you'll become close with these women and you'll end up caring about them.
And she said, not Brittany,
like,
though.
Like, I've tried really hard not to. It is hard, except it's not hard with Brittany. But here's so one thing. Funny. Here is one thing that I actually really enjoy about Brittany. Number one, she gives Rachel Dratch in the sense of like the timing in her life of things.
Oh my God.
Is like,
she's never had like good timing for literally anything.
It's the doorbell ever. Ringing as soon as she thinks she's settled sitting down for Amy Poehler's podcast. Because
it's her computer being out of battery as soon as the doorbell is done ringing and she sat down with her food. Like,
Because like she's having these heart to heart moments, or like she's like trying to open up about. Or no, she's having the argument with Angie K.
Yeah,
where I am on Brittany's side in the argument, and then she goes, "Oh, Jared's calling me."
I know, and they're like, "Don't answer." Oh, guys, I should answer. I really okay. You know what? Not answering. But no, she does answer, doesn't she?
I think she does.
God, I can't. But here's also what I want to say about Angie. Two things. I'm in my psychoanalysis of her. I also see she has been studying how to sort of rise up, and I'm not faulting her for that. I'm not saying that in a bad way. Mm-mm. She's done a great job of it. She has had Lisa Barlow's blueprint to follow, and Lisa Barlow from the beginning of time has gone low, has been nasty, all these things, and it has been heralded as iconic behavior. We love her. She's our favorite. Angie, I think, has been trying to follow suit. Now she's a lot more self-aware because she's trying to emulate that behavior. It's not just who she is, but it's like, okay, well now you've established yourself as the icon. Now you need to be your own version of the icon, and not like, now it's not going to work for you to do what Lisa's thing is, because does that make sense? Like, but I feel like she's seen that for so long that she's like, well, that's how we act. That's what we do. And that's how we become the meme and the whatever.
If you know how the magician does the trick, it's not as interesting.
Right.
Whereas like Lisa was one of a kind. Yes. Like she was like, we had never seen anything like her. And now when Angie tries to emulate,
it's like exhausting, and it's like, oh, it doesn't look.
She's miscalculating, because the things that we liked about Angie are not the things that she's accentuating.
No. Well, the things we like about Angie, I think she thinks they're the manufactured version of her that she's kind of created. It's like, no, the things we like about Angie are the fact that she knows she's manufactured. We love that about her. We love, you know, whereas like, and that's just, she's just inherently different than Lisa. And I expect more from her than I expect from Lisa in that way, because Lisa has always been who she is.
Right.
But the other thing is that I do think we're going to see, that Angie did hear Mary. And like, I think we're going to, I hope, because the way that it ends, I don't know if you got to the part of Heather and Meredith going for their walk. Did you see that?
At the luncheon?
No.
Or is this in the, no, I haven't
okay,
seen that.
So,
I do want to touch on Meredith in a second, because I think Heather in the luncheon clocked what I said last time we talked about Salt Lake.
Yes, yes, yes.
She was like, I think it's weird that Meredith isn't reacting.
I know.
But what I will say is the thing that Heather referenced was the Jen Shaw liking the tweets talking about Brooks' sexuality. And I'm like, that was a different bar than like the way we're talking about kids right now. Like, Jen was like, Brooks was still a minor. Not that the other kids aren't minors, but like the content of what was being discussed in those tweets is very different than like Lisa's kids get to put their name on product,
right?
Like things like that. Like, it's different. So the difference in Meredith's reaction to me seems not inconceivable because of the levels. But Heather said basically, without saying exactly what I said, said kind of what I said.
I've been noticing it too, like on Watch What Happens with Allison Williams and Meredith, which we'll talk about in a second, because I want to go into that as well. But so Heather is having the conversation with, Heather goes shopping with Lisa, and they have like a blowout fight because Heather's like, Lisa, I just don't understand like why you're acting like this. So like, why did you send the products back? Why did you X, Y, and Z, whatever? And Lisa just loses her mind on Heather. How dare you like talk to me like this? Like, blah, blah, blah. You're supposed to be my friend. Heather's like, I am your friend. That's why I'm saying this to you. Lisa cannot hear it. Lisa's being so nasty. So then Heather has a call with Angie that I thought was interesting. Or that's in the beginning, which you probably saw, where I was like, I feel like Angie's saying, like, I just feel like, like you're saying she saw red, all these things, whatever. Then we have Heather go on this walk with Meredith. And Heather is like, I'm really like surprised by you not reacting. Like, and Meredith's like, well, I don't have any proof. Like, there's no proof that she did this. And Heather's like, well, I know, but it's, you kind of do, because she's done this to all of us. So it's really not that hard to believe that she would do it to you. And Meredith's like, no, Lisa and I had a moment a few years ago when we had some issues, and I just think, I know she wouldn't do it to me. And Heather's like, yeah, but Meredith, I think she did do it to you. And like, Heather fully is like, and I don't want to be friends with somebody like that. And Heather, I think, is about to leave a charge against Lisa. And I think that could be what saves Angie. I think that if Angie can be like, you know what, you're right, Lisa's making us all act insane, and she's doing all this insane shit.
Mm-hmm. She needs to do that, though.
You know, and
she can't keep down this path that
she's on.
I know,
and I think Heather sees that. I think Heather wants Angie to come with them. I think she wants Meredith, mm-hmm. too. And Meredith is like, it's like she's in the cult of Lisa Barlow. She can't get out. So then I watch what happens. What was interesting was Allison Williams is kind of like having so much fun, and she was like being a little bit messy with certain things. There were moments where it was like Meredith was playing a game called Can You Defend It with things that Lisa has done. And Meredith was defending like every single one. There were like two things she couldn't defend. And Allison was just like, what? Like she like couldn't get over it. And like she said, like Meredith wasn't laughing at jokes about Lisa. Meredith was like, Lisa's my friend. Like she was like, to the point that I kind of felt bad for Allison Williams, because I was like, she's trying to have
probably
fun
made
here.
It less fun.
And Meredith is like,
honestly, like, and I know we make fun of Heather Gay like relentlessly, whatever, but like I feel like with what you're describing, you kind of need the Heather Gay. You need the person who like is winking at the camera to be able to have fun and watch what happens in the way that
Heather's like, okay, I know it looks bad right now, you guys, with Angie, but don't worry, we're gonna get this under control. Like that's what Heather needs to like say to the audience. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited to keep watching, but I just
I was making the pitch at my party for someone was like, Real Housewives came up and GC was like, oh, you should talk to Phoebe about it. And I was talking to this girl, telling her like, so are you like, you have to, it's required viewing.
Yeah, you
and
have to.
And I was
to.
Like, if you are down for a Bravo commitment, here's my prescription.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
if this is a chronic illness that we're treating and you need to cure it. We start with Beverly Hills. Yeah, you don't have to watch all of it, but you need to get to the point where
you
switch. You're going to want to, but you need to get to the point.
You need
where
to meet Lisa Vanderpump.
Switch over to Vanderpump,
and you need to meet Kyle. Like those are two people you have to meet now.
But the key to this is that I'm trying to get her to Vanderpump.
No, I know. That's why she needs.
So then we get to Vanderpump, and then she's locked in, and then it's like it opens your world to being like, well, now I could do another Housewives show, and I'm like, and Salt Lake's the answer.
Yes,
because. The thing about Salt Lake, there are dud seasons of Beverly Hills. There are dud seasons of Roni. There are dud seasons of every other show. We have not
Salt
gotten
Lake.
One yet. And I was worried about this season because I was worried about season 5 after Reality Von Teese. And now this, it's like...
No, these women deliver.
I hope they get paid more than anybody else.
It's like there's something in the water up there, because I feel the same way about the Mormon girls. Like, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
What I say about the Mormon Wives is... And I don't watch it as religiously as you do, but I obviously like have my opinions about Whitney.
Yeah.
Every TikTok I see of Whitney doing Dancing with the Stars,
it's
I'm
crazy.
Like, wait,
she's
I'm
unbelievable.
All about you.
No,
you're,
I know.
First of all, you're so talented, but also like
she's
you
fun.
Seem so likable.
I know, dude.
The TikTok of her husband where it's her in her Glinda dress and he's holding the camera, so you don't see him at first, and it's the you're green.
Yes.
And he turns it around. He's painted green and he does like his little like jeté off the screen. It was like,
I think
if you guys weren't in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. You would maybe be normal. Awesome. I mean, that look, the RSV video was bad. Like, I think she has really questionable judgment and I think she's kind of insane, but I think that she's super funny. And I think that like, if she wasn't in an environment with mom talk, like in it, like, I think she's like, maybe someone who's like addicted to this kind of attention in like a negative way. You know what I mean? Like, because
I think
that's
that a good point. Because that's what that video was.
Yeah. It was just like, that's video. Like such a crazy thing to do. And you just are never doing that if you're not introduced to that world and what that did to you. But maybe at her core, like, she's fun. Because I'm like, you hear the girls say that too. They're like, Whitney's like fun.
And
like, and then she'll just
gorgeous.
Have a moment. She looks so good. Like,
she
really
looks
does.
Incredible.
Yeah, she does. And she can dance so well.
In a way that I never noticed before. Like, on the show, I've never thought she was, like,
her skin.
Stunning.
Like, I actually just took a skincare recommendation from her. That's how much I'm, yeah. No, I totally agree with you. What was I just going to say? I do think it's crazy. Taylor Frankie Paul is being so fucking messy. And I'm like, girl, you are about to be the Bachelorette. don't you know you can't be acting like this?
What if that's what they want, though?
I mean, it obviously is, but like, have you seen the stuff? She's like fully like posted a video saying, oh, I just found out the girl in the middle slept with my baby daddy and like now she's with him. But like this, like, I'm not kidding you. Like she's, and then she deleted it, but like everyone had already seen it and screenshotted it. So then that girl had to respond. Lynn Taylor had to respond to that. I'm like, this is our Bachelorette.
If this show doesn't exist, if this world doesn't, if TikTok doesn't exist, these are just people that like you're on Facebook and they're people that you were friends with, like went to your high school, so you're friends on Facebook
and you're obsessed with their updates
and you're seeing Facebook, they're having arguments in Facebook comments.
Yes,
like, that is what this this girl in the middle,
it's such a good point. Like how do these people come, like before TikTok we never would have known these people existed, but these people did exist. You know what I mean? Like, nevertheless, they existed.
Stuff was happening.
They were just being crazy in different ways. We just didn't know about it. But these people are everywhere, y'all. And social media has just brought them into the light and made them stars. But they are literally everywhere. People who are this crazy. And I'm just like, I'm not like even trying to talk shit on Taylor, Frankie, Paul. But it does feel like something's in the water in Salt Lake. Because, like, everything they put into the world is pure gold. It's pure gold.
I'll see if that starts happening in Franklin.
Yeah, keep me posted.
Maybe there's something
in the
water and the
Real Housewives of Franklin, Tennessee is up next.
I wouldn't be shocked. But one more thing I was gonna say about Salt Lake, I'm really liking Bronwyn. Her conversation with Todd made me like irate. Like
the cherry.
I like really liked their last conversation we saw between them, where they were talking, like he was really defensive of her towards her parents.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a good, and he was talking about ways that he was trying to be better after seeing the way he behaved in the previous season.
Right.
And then this just felt like a step back, this whole interaction. He was like, but maybe they were just in terrible, it was kind of giving the vibe of like, when your parents say they're going to go do something and then they go, but they're in bad moods, but they said they were going to do it. So they're like, no, we'll go get the ice cream.
Yeah.
But they're like both like so annoyed with each other. Right. So that like breeds this kind of conversation. It could have just been that.
It's true. And I also think I liked that it felt like she could show him how disappointed she was in the moment and like
she's
how she
really
was like
good at communicating.
She's a great communicator. And the way that she got so emotional and she was like, I don't want you. I just said this to you. We just had that conversation. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry. That's like a real thing. Like I say it to Anthony 50 times a day where I'm like, why did you do that? I just said to you not to do that. And you did it. Like what just happened? And so like, it's not always malicious, you know, but like the cherry thing was crazy. But then I was like, what's different here is that she's comfortable showing him how upset it made her. Whereas like if I felt like she really was, you know, Stockholm syndrome into this relationship, which let me tell you, I'm not saying that she's not with this guy because he makes her life easier. But I also think there is a love there. There would have to be. Like, I really do, especially the way that he takes care of her and like the way that he does have her back on certain things. And like, it's just a type of relationship we're not used to seeing. And I think like, I don't know. But anyway, my point is, if she really was so scared of him, I don't think she's showing him how. I think she's brushing it off and laughing it off, and especially with cameras there, you know. But instead, she's like, "Well, why did you do that?" Like she's okay with it looking imperfect in that moment. And then I felt like in the next scene we see him in, which was a little bit more of a serious scene, and I don't know if you've gotten there yet, I think he seemed a little bit better. Like she shows up and he's already got the drink that she likes. He's like, "I ordered you the drink you like," and like whatever. And I just feel like he's probably. He
hates that they're doing this.
He hates it so much. I think that it's something that makes her feel like she's contributing in a way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that it's like important for her to have. He hates it.
It's her work.
And let me tell you, if he wanted her to not be doing the show, I feel she wouldn't be doing it. Like if he really was like, I make the decisions here, I would say he's in a position where he could do that. You know what I mean? And he's not. So it makes me think that like it's portrayed a certain way and it probably is that way to a degree, but I don't get the sense that Bronwyn is like in a dangerously unhealthy relationship the way that some people seem to think that she is. I think they're probably two toxic people and it probably is a little bit of a toxic relationship, and I think that's why they're on TV and like a lot of mo money, mo problems. You know what they say? Totally. Like they so say that. Ever
but
heard?
Yeah, this season.
Oh, it's just rich. It's just so
it's
good.
So good. And Brittany is killing me. Like Brittany, but that's another. I think I mentioned this in the episode of Pretty Little Liars. But in case we have people that for some reason just listen to the Tuesday
episodes. That'll be crazy.
That's another moment with Angie, that interaction with Brittany that really bothered me, because Brittany wasn't being mean and Brittany wasn't trying.
Okay, and I but feel I like kind Angie, of saw it differently than you.
I think Angie is always, when the cameras are up, she's ready to take that moment to start the moment.
Yes.
And I think that this was an instance where like she, maybe there was a little bit of malice when she was in it. I didn't read it that way. And if I had been Angie, I wouldn't have heard it that
what
way.
What I felt
but
like.
Angie immediately.
Yeah.
Jumped on it and was made it a fight.
I would have heard it more the way that Angie heard it than the way that you heard it, which I think is not a surprise to anyone. I would not have reacted the way that Angie did. Like the way she reacted was like, okay, like that was too much.
Stop. And don't tell her that she doesn't know how to do
exactly.
her job.
Exactly. And it just, you know, teed up Lisa. Like that's the thing though. Like Angie will start it, but believe me, Lisa will take it to the next step. Like Lisa will make it worse. You know what I mean? But I did feel like Brittany was so excited to be able to say in front of everybody, like if Brittany had good intentions, it would have been,
I guess that's
Angie,
true.
I really want to talk to Angie about her house. Like, blah, blah, blah. I just think, you know, what if I looked at it and said it was like, Angie, oh my God, it's been listed for a long time. Like Brittany, I do think is low-key dumb as rocks, but I also think that she knows what something like that is going to do to the person next to her who has all the richest zip codes in Utah memorized. You know what I mean? Like, Lisa Barlow is going to comment on, well, I know what it means when your house is on the market for that long. Brittany knows what that means. Brittany, I think she was excited to have a moment where she was had the upper hand because that's her wheelhouse, and she could be like, look, Lisa, see, look, you want some backup? I'm here to, like...
That's
how I feel about Brittany right now. So for me, if I were Angie, I would have read it that way. I would have been like, okay, you're being a bitch. For what reason? Stop. But I don't think I would have gone. I mean, I know that I wouldn't have acted the way Angie K did. Like, that's the thing. It's just like taken to such a crazy
degree.
But I felt
like she
sat
down at that luncheon already like on the defensive.
Yes.
Seeing red, like just being.
Well, she did, because the lone wolf thing had just. That is the other thing. Like, Lisa does this whole apology, she does all these apologies. And then the next day she takes the lone wolf products out and is like, by the way, your store's so dusty. Should I set my cleaner? Blah, blah, blah. And now this is the lunch that Angie's going. So it's like, well, of course Angie went in ready for that. You know, so did Lisa most likely.
Yeah, but I think that there's a. But Lisa doesn't. And this is another thing. Lisa's able to kind of keep her cool until she doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't walk into that lunch. She was sitting at the end of the table, like, with her legs crossed, like, kind of chill until she didn't
no, I feel like
need to be chill.
Angie's, like,
whereas
waiting
Angie
for her cue.
You know what
I mean? And Lisa's like, I don't need a cue because this really is just how I am, which, again, is why we hold Angie to a different standard, because we know that she knows what's going on. We know that she knows she's waiting for her cue. And that she's being filmed and that she's, you know, and Lisa's like, I would be acting this way if there were cameras here or not. Like, this is who I am. I just want to take a moment. Paige DeSorbo got Botox. I am so glad that she told us this, because for so long she was like, not, you know, everyone was like, Paige, have you gotten Botox? And she said no. And she was like, you guys will know when I do. And I was like, well, she's not sharing much with the Gigglers these days, but she said
it.
Which salon are you trying to go, or are you asking
where on her face?
Her forehead. You can already tell it looks great. I mean, she looked beautiful before. I don't know if I said this on here. I had noticed that she hadn't gotten it yet, and I was just like, she looks younger for not having it. Like, it makes her look more youthful. Because
we had this conversation at Lord.
Okay,
I think that I think her crow's feet.
Yeah,
I sound like such a bitch. But
I think
I'm
she
gonna
left
say something
those.
Nice. I think that they make her look beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I think that she's so stunning.
Yeah, agree.
And I think it's becoming it's starting to look cheaper. It's starting to make people look older.
Uh-huh.
It's going out of style. And I just think, put it off as long as you can, which, guys, by the way, is like, you could put it off forever.
You never have to get it.
But, like, I think Paige is probably doing it. I don't expect Paige to be someone who's going to be, like,
I really
getting,
don't either.
What I will say is that something about Lisa. Ugh. I don't think it looks good.
It looks
however,
bad.
I think that her. I do just, like, I think she's, for all her faults, she's pretty honest. And her saying that she was like, I didn't get a facelift, but I got four threads or whatever in her face.
40 on each side.
It's fucking crazy. And it's just like, it looks terrible. I believe you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think she's a liar, but I believe her, I guess, about that. But I do think she lies about a lot of stuff. They all do. Like, they all do. But Paige, I think it looks great. I think, like, now that she has it, I'm like, okay, it looks amazing. I will definitely be someone who gets Botox. But, you know, it's also nice that, like, she didn't do it when she was 25, that she waited until she's, like, what, 34? I mean, again, it's still so young. She did not need to do it yet if she didn't want to. But I think in her industry also, like, it makes sense for her. Like, she was like, it's not a matter of, like, if I'm going to do it. Like, she was like, I'm going to do it. And I will let you all know when I do, but I'm going to wait as long as I can. And I did start to notice, I was just like, she looks younger because her face, like, is moving, like, in her, I mean, like, she had a lot of expression on her forehead. And you know what Allison Williams said? She said in an interview, and she was like, oh, I can't, like, move my face that much right now because I just got Botox. She said in between projects, she gets it so that her face can relax a little bit, because that's what it does. It just forces your face to relax. So she was like, when I'm acting, like, I can't have it, but I get it between projects.
I really like that perspective.
Yeah, so that my face can
relax. You could have just said Allison Williams said the exact opposite, and, like, she gets it all the time. Yeah. And I would have said, that's such a good perspective.
Phoebe would have been like, okay, I'm in. I love that. Yeah, no, it was very funny. But, okay, so the Louvre being robbed, though, has been kind of fun.
What do you think it says about our society that every time there's a tragedy or a crime, like, hell yeah, we kind of come together?
Yeah, no, I know. I mean,
well, did you see that they got caught today?
I saw they arrested two people. Did they arrest everyone?
I think there were four.
Four. I thought there were four total. I didn't know if they were. Oh, okay, okay. I think it's amazing. I mean, one, I'm like,
those things are gone
already.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read too much of the article yet, but they must be. But I'm like, they must have where? Done.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that I've seen things saying, like, they probably had a black market buyer collector who was already there. But I'm like, who probably even enlisted wants them it?
To do it?
Who even wants
you
that?
Display it in your house.
I know.
Crazy. But this is one of my favorite things Dad said about the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum that was, we still don't have. Mm-hmm. Those things back. And if you guys are ever in Boston, that is an awesome museum to go to. First, there's awesome stuff there to see, but they still have, if you don't know the story, basically this museum was robbed and Rembrandt's only seascape is still missing.
Crazy.
And like, but where all the things were stolen from, they left the frames on the wall.
Ugh.
So like, you can see, so it's ready. The museum is like ready for the stuff to come back. Wow. If it ever were to. But basically Dad was like, the thing about the people that probably did this in Boston is, like, that Rembrandt seascape is probably on the wall of, like, someone's kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably,
yeah,
it's probably sitting in the garage somewhere.
Yeah.
In someone's Dorchester.
Such a good house. Point. Such a good point.
But, like, but the thing is, I think that the,
we find out Dad has it.
Around,
we're like, Dad, what's this? We go to Gaga's house, like, guys, what's this? It's in the pool house. He's, we're like, oh,
Chris,
my God.
You're paid by numbers. But that robbery felt different than this one did. This one, like, this is a high class fucking heist.
Oh,
that one was more,
God.
Like,
I mean, it's like, I'm sorry, but a heist like this too, where, like, you know, to our knowledge, I mean, everyone was probably like, I'm not saying these people aren't criminals, but, like, no one was, like, hurt. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, and with the Now You See Me promo, it's like a hilarious little coincidence. But it is, like, just so crazy, like, to think about the planning that went into this and how easy it was for them to do.
And also, like, low key, the genius of doing it during,
like, right after doing it right in after the Louvre opens, because, you know, everyone's preoccupied, everyone's down there, like, it's going to take
also,
longer.
Also, there's something about
for them to get to you. I mean,
the security probably loosens when the museum opens, in a way of, like, it's not, you're expecting the place to be robbed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have nothing to do, or they have stuff to do during the day. Like, they're actually watching the people who are in the museum. They're, and especially at, you know, 9:30 when it's just open, they're like letting everybody in and they're dealing with the metal detectors of all that kind of shit, which, like, yeah, in the night patrol there. So it's like, it's also going to take you longer potentially to get to, mm-hmm, whatever alarms or whatever, because you're like,
testament,
I don't know.
It's a testament to, like, if you see someone in a workman's outfit, it's like,
you don't have to trust them.
Well, that, but it's a funny thing about our, world where you trust them. You just assume they know what they're doing. Maybe they clean the jewels every so often.
I know. It is crazy. It is crazy. But, maybe they're supposed to shatter the glass and take it out the way. I don't know. They're in uniform. They're in uniform.
Exactly. I'm not going to be the one to be like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know what they're... Maybe they're supposed to be doing that. Maybe this is like part of the Louvre.
Exactly. I don't want to insult them.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this is an art installation in itself.
I'm like, let's let them go. I'm sure we'll figure out what that was all about. And they're like out of there, the jewels.
We find out there was someone in that
watching
room.
Watching the whole thing. I'm like, and they're like, just don't... They don't even acknowledge them.
They start walking around their Louvre. They're like, oh my God, when you go up to the third floor.
Oh my God, let me know if they do the devised performance
for you too. Performance art.
No, it's cool.
It's really cool.
I bet they're probably putting it back together. You should go next, actually, because I want to talk about it with you. It's so cool. And they go up there and they're like, oh my God, something horrible has happened here. But it's crazy to think about.
To me, art robberies are so interesting.
And this whole
world
we know nothing about.
What are
the black market? It's so wild. It's just like so wild to think people like that are out there. Like there literally are like villains in James Bond movies are out.
The Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. That's another like
what?
Especially the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Mm. Thinking about that, they stole Rembrandted so many different kinds of things that like maybe it's like oh well this could be anything. The seascape is like who is buying that?
I know that's the thing.
And have it in your house.
I'm like, you can't wear these necklaces. You can't wear this pearl tiara, like whatever, like bonnet thing. You cannot because
you can't display it in your house and be like, oh yeah, that's real, but also it's fake.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like I'm just like, yeah, who, what kind of collector even wants something like that? Also, like, what a target to put on you. Okay, well. Let's just dive in now to our rotations. You're on Dream.
My Dream rotations, you, me, and the Road Warriors.
Oh,
we did it, everybody.
Guys, if you have not listened yet, on Thursday we released part two of the Pretty Little Liars finale. Cannot believe we made it through the whole thing. Like, I'm honestly blown away. I've been low-key on cloud nine. I got to meet a road warrior at the ghost tour on Friday. I was completely
That's
shocked.
So crazy.
Shout out my girl Brie. It was I went in the bar to go to the bathroom. I come out, we're about to go. I see a beautiful girl in road warrior merch, in our Halloween merch.
Insane.
And I was like, I like stopped my tracks. I was like, oh my God. But then I was like, maybe I know this person. Like I think that my thought was not that this was like someone who like listened. I was just like, and then I was like, hi. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so excited to meet you. And I was like, whoa, like what? And then I like had to go check people in. And then I heard her say she drove 5 hours to be there. I was like, oh, am I for little me? Like, and the ghost of Pittsburgh, like what? And it was just like so fun. And honestly, I was like, it makes me so nervous because I'm like, oh my God, what if they are like, okay, so never doing that again. Like, can't believe that we wasted all that time in the car to do this or whatever. They were going to do some like Mac Miller stuff the next day too, which is cool. But
oh, fun.
But I was like, what a cool way. Like, I would totally do that to go see, like, you know, a podcast host that I, like, had or Pat. Like, if they were doing, like, because it's, like, it's not just, like, a show where you're, like, watching them talk. You, like, get to actually, like, kind of hang out for a little bit and, like, whatever. And it's just, like, was so fun. And it was, like, such a special week for that to happen. I was just, like, in my feels. And it was awesome. And I was like, you're coming for Gossip Girl, right? And she was like, yeah, and I've never watched it. So I'm just, it makes me excited because I was like, we got this whole new world of jokes that have not been told yet and worlds that have not been created yet, which are going to be so excited to dive into. So anyway, yeah, if I were doing a dream rotation, mine would also be you, me, and the Road Warriors because I think we have something fucking awesome here. I'm so proud of us. I'm proud of us for completing it, even if it sucked the whole time. I'm even more proud of us for like creating something that we're genuinely proud of and like, that we put so much work into and I'm proud of us for being able to continuously like schedule these and not kill each other and only let this strengthen our relationship because I think there are many people who don't have that experience when they do something like this. And we always say we don't know how you do it without siblings, but even so,
yeah.
You could have really hated me after this. Maybe you do, but I'll never know. Okay, guys, my nightmare rotation. First up on my nightmare rotation is admin. Oh my God, the amount of emails that like I need to answer. October's been a freaking movie. It's been a freaking whirlwind, and I hate admin. Like, I don't want to open mail. I don't want to open emails. I don't want to have to go through and see all the texts that I didn't respond to that need a response. Like, and then by the time I sit down to respond to them, it's too late, so I have to schedule it to send, and it's just like, any planning of any sort, hate. Any laundry, any unpacking or packing, hate that. Kind of making a grocery list, making recipes, figuring out dinner for the week, hate that. Unloading the dishwasher, hate that. Sometimes showering, washing my hair, total chore. Like, I just admin in general. And maybe, okay, as I'm saying it all out loud, it's like, well, Caroline, seasonal depression might be starting to creep in. These are all telltale signs. So if you're feeling that way, you're not alone. It's also OCD Awareness Month, which I was going to put on my nightmare rotation because I keep seeing all these videos on my thing about it where, like, people are just, like, sharing their intrusive thoughts and compulsions and shit, which are making me laugh because, like, they're funny. But then it's also, like, you know what I mean? You just see them and you're just like, yeah, okay.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
Looks same. Like I have a new one.
Yeah, that. And it's like, oh, that's one I used to have and I'm going to have again. Or, oh, that's one I also have. And it's like, I was kind of hoping that maybe this whole time I was just faking OCD and that I don't have it, which is something that I make myself think a lot.
That sounds like also.
and then there's that. So anyway, but it's not on my nightmare rotation because it's a good thing. So if, you know, it's anyway, it's that month. Okay, back to my nightmare rotation and not just admin, but also... Oh, also sketches and any sketchers. Sorry. Sorry to bump you all in there, but you're now number two on my nightmare rotation. And then number three on my nightmare rotation is actually a joint spot for Lily Allen and David Harbour because I have learned more about these two people in the past 24 hours than I ever sought to know or thought I would. Lily Allen just put out an album called West End Girl. And it's all about her divorce from David Harbour. And it's crazy. And she basically makes no bones about it and tells you every single little detail, which is bonkers to listen to. And so then it, you know, got me looking into David Harbour a little bit. And I learned some like crazy stuff about him. Like there was like a woman who like jumped to her death from his apartment window. And she was like 21. And he was like, yeah, it's a shame. And like there's a lot of things where people are like, he's not a good dude. And then unfortunately found out some stuff about Lily Allen as well. And I was like, oh my God. And she's not a good person either. So I just have learned so much about these people. Quite a rabbit hole. Would encourage you to still at least go read the lyrics of the album because it's bonkers. And with Stranger Things coming out, like the timing here is quite wild. So
it's pretty unfortunate for
check
him.
It out. Yeah, well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Okay, I think that's it. Guys, this Thursday, the Pretty Little Liars content is not over just because we finished the show. We've got a few more weeks of Pretty Little Liars content under our belts. And of course, this week, we have got to get Sarah Shepherd back on the pod. So on Thursday, you will have an amazing episode featuring Queen Sarah Shepherd, creator of Pretty Little Liars, writer of the books. Last year, we had her on the show to talk about Nowhere Like Home, and we kind of... you know, talked a little bit about Pretty Little Liars, so we didn't get too into it, but she is rewatching the finale, so she is, like, up to date on what we are talking about, and we're going to get into all of it. We're going to get into that 15th anniversary interview and the different, you know, how does Sarah feel about things that, like, they talked about and said and just how the show ended up, and then, of course, the questions that you guys submitted as well. So you're not going to want to miss that. That is coming out on Thursday, and then a video version of that will be available on the Patreon for all honorary Connell sisters, so, and it'll probably be a little bit less edited, so... if you want that version, check that out. And obviously our amazing episode where Phoebe kind of did a get ready with me with her minion outfit, which is probably like a 50% laughter episode. It's so funny. That's out now, tier one. And then we're also going to do like an epic Halloween episode for our dream rotation this week. So stay tuned for that. Last week to get that Halloween merch, the Rosewood Ghost Tour merch, just because it's not October anymore doesn't mean you can't keep the spirit of Halloween and the Rosewood Ghost Tour company alive nonstop because it's not real anyway. So go get exactly. Get that merch. It's so fucking cute. It's my favorite merch we've designed. I love it. Stay tuned for updates on what is to come. Stay with us. Thank you guys for being here. We love you so much and we will see you next week.
And splat.